Jules Pipe, who's the mayor of Hackney, your third term. I should declare I'm a resident, so
we'll talk afterwards.
Yeah. And of course, David talked about London being a slightly different country from the rest of the GB in terms of having more disadvantaged people. You, Jules, in Hackney probably see that problem more acutely than many other boroughs. But you're here to talk. Please do.
Thank you, Randy. Yeah, I'm glad you said we do have a kind of more disadvantaged people. I always hate it when people say we're a deprived borough or a poor borough. There's nothing poor or deprived actually about the borough. It's a fantastic borough with fantastic opportunities on the outskirts of London. We just happen to have a preponderance of disadvantaged people who aren't getting the access to the opportunities that are there, which is very much at the heart of the issue that we're here to discuss today. I could cheerfully have, if I mean, David was only reading from notes, not a script. But if he had a script, I would have cheerfully read it out myself. I think if anyone's come for controversy to this fringe meeting, I don't think they'll really find it between our two positions. And in particular, I very much agreed with what you said about in the generality of the lack of devolution that, you know, this government, the previous government as well, actually engaged in and should have done so much more. In fact, I would describe it as something I'm pushing now called devolve or die. And it really is, the devolve is a message to the next government, and die is what public services are is what's going to happen to public services in this country. Any incoming government is going to be faced with very, very little money and the need to make further savings. Just trying to carry on as business as usual is going to be a recipe for disaster for any incoming government, but more importantly to me, actually, people on the ground who need services. What is it if you keep doing, what's the definition of madness? Keep doing the same thing again and again and expect a different outcome. So we really do have to press any incoming Labour government in its manifesto to seriously consider devolution across the piece. I mean, we're here today to talk specifically about welfare and in relation to devolution. I mean, the welfare changes that are happening in this country now are going to have a huge impact, and a huge impact in London. And I say are going to have an impact because the effects of the biggest changes are yet to be seen. Universal credit, they're still to have make their impact felt. And half of all households that are affected by the benefit cap are in London. That's 26,000 households in London. And all of the 32 boroughs in the City of London, which London councils represent, we want to minimise the negative impacts of welfare changes on London. And actually that goes across the piece for all 33, because whatever flavour of politics you are in your local authority, this has negative impacts for you, whatever the dynamics and whatever the flows of people are moving from one area to the other. There's just one potential problem. I mean, one of the best ways to support our residents through all this is to get them back into employment or into employment for the first time, or to take on more hours if they are already in some form of employment. But, you know, despite the number of jobs in London exceeding 5 million for the first time ever, this was just last year that they reached that point, long-term unemployment in London is actually growing. And I think this is evidence for me that the work programme isn't helping those who need it most, to date anyway. And I look forward to seeing these figures and hoping that after 2 years it is turning the corner. I mean, if Londoners are going to benefit from this, you know, the growing economy that we have, you know, we need to get all of our employment support right across the capital. But programmes led from the centre and are inevitably going to struggle to connect with local labour. I mean, there are a number of different reasons for this, that they can't either connect with the local labour market and also understand people's needs. And the first is the complete lack of integration with local services, with local service planning and the provision of those services, and they take no account of local conditions. I mean, London's higher costs, for example, are a huge barrier to entering employment. Housing costs in London are 50% higher than the national average. Childcare in London, 23% higher than the national average. And transport is 63% higher than other metropolitan areas in the country. And those three issues alone impact hugely on the ability of households to engage with the work programme. How are people expected to engage in preparing for work, engaging in a programme, whilst possibly facing eviction from not just the home where they live, but potentially the area they live, if affordable housing can't be found in that locality as a result of the benefit cap? The lack of flexible childcare. I mean, many of the jobs people will be expected to undertake will often have unsocial hours, whether it's cleaning work, whether it's work in the hospitality industry, early morning starts, late evenings, perhaps through the night, the potential for getting childcare, particularly for lone parents with children, potentially at a number of different schools. If you've got three children, different schools and nurseries, running around throughout the day trying to coordinate all that, it can be practically half a job in itself. And there isn't the flexible childcare to cope with that. And as I say, the travel costs, people expecting to travel the other side of London for some of these jobs, and not factored in that even if they came successfully through the work programme and placed, is it a sustainable job for the costs that they're incurring in undertaking that job? And all these things are ignored by the current welfare reforms that this government is trying to introduce. Now, a related issue is the rules against data sharing by the providers delivering the centralised programme, and particularly data sharing with the local authorities. I mean, they report to their central paymasters, but they're not going to share any of the details of the people who are going through the programme, either on or the performance that's being delivered on that programme. And I mean, councils want to provide the best support packages for their local residents that they can, but Primes will not share the information that we need on individuals, making it very difficult to align the kind of programmes we want: childcare, housing, physical and mental health services, just some examples.